My name is Will DeFries, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. This week's episode is brought to you by Early Bird CBD. If you're unfamiliar with CBD, don't be afraid to try it. Despite being taken from cannabis, CBD is essentially the part of the weed that doesn't get you stoned. And yes, it's totally legal. My best use for it? Anxiety. But that's not all it's good for. Additionally, it can help with insomnia, pain relief, depression, heart health, and the list goes on. Early Bird CBD searches high and low for the very best CBD products. Oils, topicals, tinctures, capsules, gummies, vape cartridges, and even pet treats. They started in 2018 with a simple mission, helping people find the best quality CBD for whatever their needs are. They're helping the best companies spread the power of CBD so that the world can be a healthier and happier place. Every product they stock contains less than 3% THC, which is the legal limit, and they ship to all 50 states for free. By going to earlybirdcbd.com, you can use promo code SCARIES for 20% off of your order. Again, that's earlybirdcbd.com, using SCARIES for 20% off. If you're looking for CBD or trying it for the first time, look no further than Early Bird. As always, you can find a link to them in the description of this episode. Alex Rychek is an expert in marketing communications for food, beverage, and lifestyle hospitality businesses, and she also writes a restaurant and travel blog called Checkmark Eats. On her blog, you can find city guides around the world and restaurant reviews heavily in both New York City and Austin. As you'll learn through our interview, she lived in New York City for 7.5 years doing PR for restaurants and chefs, and now lives back home in Austin where she runs her company Checkmark Consulting. She handles marketing, PR, and partnership campaigns for clients. And if our post-lunch conversation indicates anything, I don't think it'll be the last time we sit down for a meal together. Here she is. Okay, Alex, you and I just had lunch together. It was a pretty hefty lunch, so we might be a little sluggish, but thank you for sitting down with me. First and foremost, I want you to explain what you actually do.
So I started a blog called Checkmark Eats when I lived in New York. About 7 years ago, I started it. And it's all about restaurants and where to eat. I named it Checkmark Eats as a play off my last name, Rychek, trying to check off every restaurant and bakery off my list, which I wrote 5 times a week, went to a different restaurant almost every day, doubled up on bakeries on the weekends.
That's probably the move.
Kept walking everywhere to keep going with the food. And then that's how the brand Checkmark got started. And then I had always done PR for restaurants and chefs because obviously food is my passion, in the hospitality industry. And then now I started my own company called Checkmark Consulting.
Okay.
Here in Austin. So I work with different, restaurant, food brands, waters, to help with their marketing ideas, to build campaigns for awareness. I do traditional PR and kind of get them set up with partnerships with other like-minded brands.
Yeah. So when you originally started the blog, what drove you to actually starting it? I know that a lot of people think about it and a lot of people even do it and don't really take it that far. And so for you to start it 7 years ago and still have something going on today, like there was clearly some kind of fire that ignited it.
Well, at the time I lived in New York for 2 years and I had people visiting me from, Texas cause I went to UT and I was from Houston. So I had people visiting me literally every weekend and I'm such a planner and I really cared about where I ate. So I would plan dinner Thursday, dinner Friday, brunch Saturday, dinner Saturday night. And eventually I just became the person in my circle of friends in New York and through other friends, like, oh, where do I eat? I have friends coming in town. I have parents coming in town. Where should I go for work? And then people in Texas were referred to me to ask where to eat on their trips.
Yeah.
And then my mom said to me one day, you need another hobby besides eating out and working out. Like, my dad has all these crazy hobbies. He now has bees in his backyard and he's making honey and plays bridge and stuff. And so I was like, I guess I could start a blog. Everyone's always asking me where to eat. And I had a few friends that said you should do it.
Yeah.
but I didn't want to because I was too embarrassed to show how much I was eating.
Yeah.
Because I'm not...
That's a really funny thing to be, like, embarrassed of.
Well, I thought I'd have to take pictures, too, yeah. You know? And I didn't want to show, like, oh, I had pancakes for brunch, and then we got a side of this, and then 2 hours later, I walked into this new bakery and got a chocolate chip cookie. So yeah. I was literally just like, I could hide, you know, my friends know this, but I don't want to show the world. And then I was like, whatever, I'm going to do it. And so I told myself, if I'm going to tell people I'm starting this, because I want to tell people so people read it. I'm not just going to do this for fun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I did do it for fun, but I want it to be useful. So then I told everyone I was writing it, and which meant that I had to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So I wrote 5 nights a week.
See, you're kind of the opposite of me, where I started my original website as just a totally 100% like personal little way to satisfy my creative needs.
Well, yeah, I did it to be creative.
And then I started unrolling, telling other people about it one by one and kind of surprising them with it and saying like, hey, by the way, I've been doing this thing on the side for like 6 months now, but I was afraid to tell people at first because I didn't want them to judge it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that responsibility to them to keep doing it because it's like, you know, probably a lot of people that start blogs or websites or whatever, they fizzle out. And so I didn't want the responsibility of like people knowing if I was going to fizzle out.
Yeah. Well, I was reading Eater and Serious Eats every day, like mm-hmm. refreshing every hour. And so I was like, if I want people to read mine, they're going to be refreshing and I can only have one blog post a day because I have a job.
Yeah.
Then like, I have to do this or.
Did you find yourself going home at night and like working on it all the time?
Yes. I would stay up till like 1 a.m.
I like pretty much stopped going out for a little bit when I first started doing it because I got so in tune with just going home and sitting on my laptop. It was like, it was way more fun to me than going out became.
Oh yeah. I had friends like at work. They were like, let's go out to dinner after work. I'm like, no, I work out after work and then I have to work on my blog. Like I'd go out during the weekends and I'd go out really late. And so I.
Did you get flack for that from them?
Yes, because I was, you know, I had a routine. I'm like, I go out like 5 times a week on the weekends.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and also I think it was my first job. So I was like, I wanted to be good at my job and like, I was nervous about working. Yeah. So I didn't want to go out too late. Well, and then that kind of changed as I got older and I was going out during the week too.
Yeah.
And then the blog post slowed down.
When you were in New York and you were working on it, you told me earlier that somebody wrote you up for one of the best food blogs in New York.
Yes,
and
it was Huffington Post.
And like, what was that like? Because one, it's cool from just the perspective of being anointed something like that. Mm-hmm. And two, it's really cool from the perspective of it kind of validating what you do.
Yeah, so I remember it was June, and I had started the blog in July, so it was like almost a year later, and I started on WordPress, and I would check my stats every night, and I kept seeing the numbers going up and up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why is everyone going to my website? Oh my gosh, I must have really good content. Like, what was that last blog post about? And then I saw the references, and it was from Huffington Post.
Yeah.
And I like ran into my roommate's room. I'm like, is this real? Like, do you see what I'm seeing? Like, it says checkmark eats on Huffington Post. And it was with Eater, The Infatuation, like Tasting Table, like legit companies.
Yeah.
I was the only person that was solo.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
Like I can't. And I still get traction from that. But that's when I posted about it on Facebook. And then people started seeing me as legit because Huffington Post or like... This is my friend. She has like the best food blog in New York. I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah.
I was just on Huffington Post one time. But it was really exciting and it gave me a lot of confidence and like made me feel like, oh, this has really been paying off. Like I'm writing 5 blog posts a week for fun.
Yeah.
And like working really hard.
It's exhausting. People don't.
Yeah.
I don't
and
think
I'm eating all the time.
When
that's
you're working a full-time
too.
Job, when you're, yeah, that's seriously like, it's way more exhausting than just doing what I did. I mean, but when you're doing that as a side gig almost pretty much. I mean, it becomes really exhausting. And I can see why some people decide to stop doing what they're doing because at some point you just wonder, like, is this even worth like my time yeah. doing it? Is it worth my energy spent on it?
I think it also helped that I had just moved to New York City. I was young, so excited about the restaurant mm-hmm. world, like learning who all the cool chefs were when places were opening. So I was having so much fun writing about it. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of like a journal for me.
Yeah.
But it was just, I was so excited to tell people and like, you have to eat this.
Yeah.
So it was fun for me.
So when you moved from New York back to Austin,
mm-hmm.
What was that like? Because you had spent, how long had you lived in New York for?
7.5 years.
Okay. That's a long time to be living pretty, I mean, anywhere really, especially yeah. if you moved there after college or yeah. something. You had previously mentioned that you considered moving without a job and
yes.
I mean, there's pressure there. There's like kind of the uncertainty is the scariest part. What was it like moving back?
So I ended up getting a job because my older brother, we're 11 years apart
mm-hmm.
and he was like, you cannot just move back to Texas and not have a job. It's so, such a different market than New York.
Yeah.
So I had been doing PR for restaurants and chefs. So I did that for 7.5 years in New York and I wanted to keep going forward. So I felt like I should leave an agency and work in-house for a restaurant group. Mm-hmm. So I started emailing restaurant groups in Houston and Austin, and I still emailed PR firms just because that's what I had been doing. And then I got a job in Austin, and I moved back, and I was super excited. I had 2 weeks to like leave New York, so I didn't have.
Well, you said it kind of came suddenly.
Yes. So I had met Larry McGuire in New York. I had reached out to him, and he owns McGuire Mormon Hospitality here. So mm-hmm. there's several restaurants like Elizabeth Street and Perla's and June's all day. And I met him, and what he said, he didn't have anyone in-house. And I was kind of had this pitch for myself because I had been meeting with people in New York, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do and what I was great at. And so we had a great conversation, and I knew at that moment, I was like, I'm going to get this. I'm yeah. moving. Like it
That's
just,
a good
it
feeling.
Aligned. I mean, I just, you know, I'm very positive. So I just like thought I was going to get it.
Yeah.
But then I didn't hear back for like 2 weeks, which were the longest 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I don't get this, I have to stay in New York. Like there's nothing else.
Well, you had already decided to move at that point.
Well, because I wasn't going to move without a job.
Yeah.
Especially because then it's like, oh, I worked so hard in New York and now I'm living with my parents. Like,
yeah. My mom always mm-hmm. told me, and I've never applied it to this actual situation, mm-hmm. but I've applied it to other things in life. But she jokingly told my sister and I when we were younger to never break up with somebody unless we had somebody else in mind. And
oh my
sister
God.
And I thought it was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
And, but I've always kind of lived by that motto when it comes to everything else except, you know, relationships.
Yeah.
But it's always in my mind like, okay, I can't stop doing this unless I start doing this. And that happens
right.
with jobs, that happens with hobbies or whatever.
Yeah, that's actually what one of my bosses in New York told me. They're like, you can't get promoted until you're already doing that job like,
yeah.
ahead of you.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good piece of advice, yeah. actually.
I was like, I am.
It's like, yeah, it's like, excuse me, sir.
But yeah, I was also scared to move back. Because I was like, Checkmark Eats, a New York City food blog. Like, all of my content was about New York restaurants and then, you know, best brunches, best bakeries.
Yeah.
I still have like travel guides on like where to eat in Seattle and Mexico City and Costa Rica and those kind of things. Those are not going to happen every day.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, you know, I can't base my whole life around this hobby. Like, this isn't even in my income.
Mm-hmm.
I just have great fans and followers and, it's really fun for me. It's kind of like a resume. Like I built this whole brand and I can apply it to my business now that I'm doing for other
yeah.
restaurants and clients. But I had to like tell myself it's okay. Like I can move somewhere and still write about food. At least food is everywhere.
I know. I think a lot of people, like especially me, I mean, when I moved to Austin,
mm-hmm.
I had it built up into my head so much, but people do it every day.
Right.
And you don't realize that sometimes you just have to do it. And you'll figure it out along the way rather than, I think you and I are probably similar in the fact that we are planners. I think you're, maybe, you might be a little more organized than me.
Mine is
but
to a
I
fault.
Need to make sure that I have at least an idea. We talked about it when we were ordering earlier today that we, like, every single restaurant we go to, we look at the menu before and probably have an idea of what we're ordering before we actually do it.
And we both got what we knew we were going to get.
Yeah, like, I didn't stray far from it unless there's a special that I'm like, oh, that sounds good. But, are there any restaurants or types of restaurants that you gravitate to more than others?
So I just would like to say I don't eat somewhere just to take a picture of the food. It's really the taste and the experience are what's most important to me and what I value, especially if I'm going to tell people and they trust me to find out where to eat. Like, I'm not going to say this has a pretty, you know, plate. I love Asian food. I love sushi and I love, like, Thai flavors and curries. So, and then I also gravitate towards seafood. That's like what I'm going to order on a menu all the time, like a seafood stew or cioppino or...
That's what I've turned into. I used to not order seafood that much when I was out. I used to be like, no, I'm just going to get a steak or whatever. And now I order a lot more seafood. And I make a lot more seafood at home.
Oh, what do you make?
A lot of just like normal fish in the oven and things like that. I need to go a little more advanced. I made scallops the other day and my apartment smells like them.
I'm scared to try scallops because I don't want to mess it up. And then it's like, you spent all this money.
They're hard
on
to
scallop.
Mess it up.
Right. It's like 3 minutes on each side, right?
Yeah. It was like super simple. But I will say, if you need to light a candle in your apartment for like the 3 days following, because it still hits me when I walk in.
One of the best things I made that I was really proud of was a chimichurri chicken.
Really?
Yes.
See, I have a guy that lives two floors down from me. Actually, listeners will know. It's his name's Micah. He makes a phenomenal chimichurri, and every time he makes it now, I tell him, I'm like, please make me some extra. I really just like, I want some for our place. And it changes everything. Yeah. You can put it on tacos. You can put it on like chicken, literally anything, and it tastes amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have anyone that you follow on like Instagram that you like? Because, I mean, you've got a pretty sizable following, so I feel you should probably have a good intuition on like certain people that you like to follow.
In what category are we speaking?
Food. Or anything.
Oh. I follow my friend Liv Young. She actually had a similar job as me in New York. She was a communications director at Michael White's restaurant group.
Okay.
And Alta Maria group. And she left at the same time I left to move to Austin. So we were like talking a lot. She left and started her own fitness studio called Box and Flow.
Okay.
So it's half boxing, half yoga. She's like the most intense
female,
power driven. She wakes up at 5 a.m., makes her sweet potato with coconut oil, some kind of smoothie, runs like 5 miles, does yoga, then shows up to class to teach. She's so motivating. You would have to feel like if you're not doing anything with your life, you need to follow her.
You see her story and you just feel guilty.
Well, you don't. To me, she makes me feel good. Like, I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I'm passionate about what I'm doing. She's so passionate about what she's doing, but she's trying to motivate people to keep up because she's doing so much every day. And she really, I think, is promoting self-confidence too and vulnerable. And I just love following her because it makes me proud to like having had those conversations before we both started our own company. And she has a brick and mortar fitness studio. And I think she's opening another one. So I love following her.
That's such a better reason than just being like, oh, that person puts a really good filter on their photo or whatever.
Yeah. I'm into like people that are saying messages that I can like relate to or like feel good about myself because I follow them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like food people. Like when I go to other cities, I always read Bon Appetit because they have great travel guides and I've never been let down.
Yeah.
And then I start like looking at the places feature from those restaurants on Instagram, and then you kind of start seeing who gets a lot of likes, and then I start going to their accounts.
Okay.
And then so it's not necessarily like, oh, I have a few friends though that in my back pocket that I call that I trust on their food and style and going out and bars and that kind of thing. And then I kind of just I can tell if something's going to taste good by the way it looks. So like I'll use Yelp for photos. I won't read what people are saying.
I don't like reading Yelp. I feel like a lot of people just go there to complain or like, then I start to wonder like, why should I ever trust this random person online with my own personal food taste?
Yeah,
it just makes no sense to me.
You can tell like if a piece of cake is going to be smooth and like, it's going to taste good by the photo. Like,
yeah.
You've had enough pieces of cake at this point, right?
You told me earlier that you're not a big TV watcher. And I feel like a lot of the knowledge that I get about food is through TV.
Oh, I can't watch food TV. Absolutely not.
Why?
I'm spending all day reading about new restaurants, reading blogs about food, pitching my restaurant clients, eating food, taking editors out to lunch, meeting new potential new clients. Everything is talking about food all day. And then I can't wait what I'm going to eat for lunch and dinner. I'm like thinking about it all day. So then to then watch food on TV, it's like all I've done all day is eat. Like,
that makes sense.
I need some kind of education in some other industry.
That makes sense. Yeah. A lot of the TV that I watch is actually like food driven. I watch a lot of Chef's Table. I watch a lot of like the Great British Baking Show and things like that.
Yeah, I've heard I would love that. Dessert's my favorite food.
You would love it.
And one of my friends who I used to work with in New York is always like texting me talking about the cakes and pastries that are made. And I'm like, I can't watch
it. It's amazing. So it like, does make you crave it though.
Yeah.
My girlfriend.
And I will go eat it. Or other people are like, oh, I went to bed hungry. I'm like, well, I bought 17 cookies after that.
Well, we used to watch it and we were doing it while we were doing the Whole 30 diet.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, it was torturous, but at the same time, it allowed us to, it kind of allowed me to like get the fix as opposed to like eating it. And it probably wasn't healthy. It probably got my motor running a little. Yeah, it was probably not the most responsible move, but it was
healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy move.
Whatever. Do you get worried about posting to so many people online?
You know, I only get worried if the post doesn't do well.
Yeah.
Then I'm like embarrassed.
You're like, what? Like, what went wrong?
Like, I posted something healthy-ish the other day, and it didn't get as many likes as like a this new taco place that I posted in Austin. Well, not new, but new to me and clearly all the other people that liked it because they haven't heard of it. And I was like, man, but like this salad was so good. And I'm not eating pizza and cinnamon rolls every single day.
Yeah.
I am a few times a week. But I posted that salad and it didn't get as many likes. So that made me feel like, oh, man.
Well, it's kind of funny.
People want to know where to eat for every kind of food. So yeah. Like, it's okay.
I don't want to, this isn't complaining about posting things online because I mean, it's a really fun job and thing to do. But at the same time, it is a little stressful because it's direct feedback. Like you're not just getting feedback from your superior. You're getting feedback from thousands of people who read what you do, who look at the photos of what you post and all those things. And so it's kind of like, it can wear on you a little bit, especially if things aren't going well.
Luckily food isn't, it's not like I'm a fashion blogger posting myself in a swimsuit, you know? So like food is relatable to everybody, which is why I think it's such a fun industry and why I got into it.
Yeah.
So it, unless I'm going to start posting like deep thoughts about the world, then I can't really be a target.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. but like food is just so much fun and, you know, design in the restaurants, music in the restaurants, the personalities. So that's kind of like why Checkmark Eats is for fun anyways, because it's like, how do you want to spend your time and with who, that sort of thing. Like on my stories and stuff, I'm really just I'm not planning those in advance. I'm posting what I'm really doing at the time. So all my friends are on it. I just went to Marfa. So I posted like all the museums I went to and the food that I ate. Because people obviously care about other things besides just eating. They want to know what to do when they're there. So
yeah.
I'm just hanging out with my friends and showing people.
What's your favorite foreign, or not foreign, I guess a non-Austin, non-New York, non-somewhere you've lived food city?
London.
Really?
Or LA.
Why London?
Sorry, London was like so quick out of my mouth because I love that city.
It's kind of funny because when you think, I mean, so I've only been to London once. I was in fifth grade, and all I remember eating the entire time I was there was pasta from one Italian restaurant that we ate twice because I liked it, and I was in fifth grade. And then the other thing I ate, because I was very picky at that age, it'd be much different now, was like Pepperidge Farm cookies. That's all
like
I would
Milano's?
Eat.
Like Milano's?
Yeah.
Is that Pepperidge Farm?
I think so. And that's all I would eat. And because I just imagine like a bunch of like bland ham sandwiches and stuff like that.
So I say London and LA because when I go to LA, I'm actually going there this Thursday. I am so impressed with the food. They have all different cultures and it's all fun and laid back. I've had so much Israeli food there lately. I went to this place, Bavel. And it was just amazing. And they had different dishes that I never had, like certain flatbreads. Also, Major Domo is David Chang's place in LA, and had these awesome sardines on like a, I was not a flatbread, but it looked like one.
Yeah.
Actually, it looked like roti. I don't know what kind of bread it was, but there's so many intense flavors and spices, and everyone talks about LA like juicing and salads and going to Justa, and I'm like, I'm eating the, they have this smoked fish salmon plate at Lodge Bread, and like eat all the breads there are handmade or homemade in so many restaurants, and they're just so amazing.
Yeah.
And then London was really when I was exposed to a lot of Indian food. I went to this place called Gunpowder this summer, and Dishoom everyone talks about, and Odalangi's restaurant, and it was just like so exciting and no frills and, you know, walking around.
I don't think people realize the Indian influence in London.
No.
I think people get really thrown off by it. And truthfully, I didn't know about it until I started going to June's pub nights they did that. And then I started reading into it a little bit more. And then I saw all this Indian influence on the Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I need to learn more about this. And it's actually really interesting that there's so much influence there, because it's not something you would normally associate with England. You would associate like beans for breakfast.
When I went to London last summer, I knew this about India. I mean, I knew this about their Indian food. So I just asked people, where's the best Indian food? And I have not, there's not many places to have Indian food here in Austin.
Yeah.
Although there is a Goan and Portuguese restaurant opening in May or June here, which I'm excited about.
Noted.
So I was like, I'm going to expose myself to this food. I haven't had it that much. I grew up with a friend who is Indian, and her mom cooked every now and then, but I just didn't eat it all the time. So yeah. I had the best time in London, because that's also what I love about food, is it. You try something new and it's just like a whole new experience, and it's something you've never had or heard of. And it was awesome.
Is there anything you don't like? Like, do you have any foods that you just stay away from? What?
I don't like uni.
What's uni?
Are you serious? The sea urchin. It's that yellow creamy thing that everyone is obsessed with.
I would try.
I don't like truffles and truffle oil, which everyone's like truffle fries. Like,
so it just leaves
this
taste
in my mouth and I can't taste anything else.
Yes. I am so over truffles.
I'm like afraid I'm going to get hate mail or something. I don't drink coffee either.
Yeah. That was something I definitely wanted to talk to you about, because I was going to ask you how you take your coffee. I like hearing from people like how they take it, or if they do anything special.
Sparkling water.
So why don't you drink coffee?
That
was a really judgy way to ask that question.
Oh no, it happens every day. I don't like the smell, and I had a Frappuccino in seventh grade, and you know, the taste just like loomed in like heat in my mouth.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away. And I will maybe have a bite of coffee ice cream if that's the only like option at the restaurant, but I would never buy it. And it's such this warm flavor, and thank God I don't drink coffee, because I'm already spending so much money on food and desserts. If I had to go somewhere else and get another item, no one in my family does either.
The reason I started drinking coffee was because I liked the smell. So I'm like
I've
the
heard
opposite.
This too.
Yeah. I thought it was, even though I hated the taste when I first started drinking it, the smell was just so refreshing to me, and I just liked it so much. And then once I started, I wasn't drinking straight espresso, but once I started drinking more Americanos, and that's when I really started to like it, just because I liked the bitterness of the espresso.
Yeah.
And now I just love it. Like, I love coffee flavored ice cream. I love coffee flavored everything. But
I like matcha, but
what do you do? Yeah. So, oh, you like, well, oh, see, we're total opposite.
I don't like
that.
It by itself though. There's like a lavender matcha at Henbit and Fairground, and that's good, but it tastes like more like dessert. I just don't need caffeine, I guess. My family doesn't.
Yeah.
My parents don't drink it. We're all very active and like to do things, and I've never had to lean on it in the past. So I feel like if you never start with it, you don't have to have it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I know people that have started late in
like
life.
Kombucha.
They like didn't want to get enslaved to it too early, and so they decided to stop or drink it until they like got older.
So I went to this wedding in Ecuador, and it was a 12-hour, it was an Indian and Ecuadorian wedding, and it was like started at 12 p.m. and was lasting till 12 a.m. And I landed the night before. I was so tired, And I was like, it's going to be 12 hours. And everyone's like, you got to try this like azucar, some kind of like sugar coffee that someone brought from Mexico. And I was like, I don't drink coffee. And I drank it and it was so sweet. It was so good. And I had like three of them and I made it. I was like the last one at the wedding.
It's like,
everyone's like, now you drink coffee. I'm like, this was a one time thing.
Well, I think it's like Cafe Cubano. It's like they brew the espresso. I'm going to botch this, but they make the espresso with a ton of sugar.
Mm.
And so it's way sweeter. And the only time I've had it is at like a Cuban restaurant. But I remember thinking like, this doesn't even taste like coffee. It's so sweet that it's almost like something different.
I could down an espresso martini.
There's I've never had an espresso martini. That I think that was like my sister's first legal drink. I remember like my dad bought it for her and we were like, why would you ever buy that? Like, that's so random.
I just had one recently for the first time.
How'd it go?
I got a second one.
There you go. I'm going to ask you some trademark Sunday questions.
Okay.
Well, one, do you ever get Sunday scaries? Some people don't get them and I don't blame them, but I'm
not
jealous.
Really. I will if I like stayed out too late and like accidentally eaten like a whole pint of ice cream,
mm-hmm.
then I'll feel really bad about myself. But I don't do that anymore. I did that in New York sometimes.
A little more responsible.
but I usually am very active. Like I go to Town Lake on Sundays or now I go to the grocery store. I started cookbook club and, have dinner with friends and everyone makes something from the cookbook. So like I have things to look forward to.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. And I love to hang out with my friends all the time. So I don't really like sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah.
But now that I work for myself, sometimes I will start working on Sundays to just get ahead and then Monday be a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah. I definitely subscribe to that.
Because no one's emailing you on a Sunday, you know?
Yeah, you can send out the emails and just let them come in on, on Monday instead of having to be like sitting there.
Yeah.
Sundays become somewhat of a work day for me just with this podcast, which I'm fine with. Like, I would rather be working on a Sunday doing this than working on a Monday doing something else. But it does kind of make Mondays a little bit easier. The idea, I mean, I work for myself too, but sometimes that gets to me where I'm like, what if everything just falls apart? And it's
don't think that.
There's no like security blanket for me sometimes. And that's what I think about. I'm like, well, like
it's
all up to me.
Well, that's the same. Like all the stuff that I'm doing are like partnerships ideas are my contacts and my friends and connections. And it's all here. So like you can't just be like someone else is going to take care of it because it's your personality.
Yeah. Here's a question. I've asked this to most of the guests I've had on the podcast. And I think that you might have a good answer just given the subject at hand. If I opened your refrigerator right now, what would it look like in there?
Okay, so sometimes it's only like Richard sparkling water and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's like loaded. So I always have pickled sushi ginger.
Really?
Yeah, like I'll just eat that out of the jar sometimes.
I mean, I respect that. Like, I think I went to a restaurant. I went to get sushi the other night. And I was just eating it. And people were just like, I mean.
That's part of the best part of the sushi.
Like, that's not the dish. Like,
I always have apples. I love making coconut rice, so I'll have that in there sometimes.
So does Sally. I'm not a big coconut rice guy.
Oh, I have to ask her how she makes it. She
should probably ask you how she makes it, just based on the coconut rice that we've been eating.
What else? I always have, mackerel.
Really?
Yes. I eat that all the time. My favorite is from Trader Joe's, actually. I used to only buy sardines. And now I've accidentally bought the mackerel can and it is so much better than the sardines and there's no bones in it. And it's, oh my God, it's my favorite. I love seafood, like I said, and you don't have to make any, like open up that can for lunch, have it with some crackers.
You did not disappoint in terms of what you had in your fridge. Cause I don't think anyone has said pickled ginger or mackerel yet.
Should we move to freezer? Like, is that part of the fridge?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I love ice cream. So I used to buy Talenti sea salt caramel, but then it's gone in 2 days, so that's kind of scary. and then I get ice cream at Thai Fresh. They have vegan coconut milk-based ice cream, and they have a great golden milk flavor.
Okay.
And Fresa's is also my favorite, even though it's a Mexican restaurant.
They have ice cream there?
Exactly. That's why I said it. Because no one knows. I think I'm the only one that goes there for ice cream and not chicken au carbone.
I'm going to start going there for ice cream.
Oh my God. The cookies and cream is my favorite. They've had a chocolate brownie. I'm sure they changed the flavors now for summer, but you can get it to go in the pickup window. And if you eat it there, it comes with a sprinkle cookie. It's so good.
I respect that you have such a sweet tooth. You told me earlier, and like based on what everything you've said today, she definitely does have a sweet tooth. You called out the donut that I posted on Sunday Scaries earlier today.
I recognized it.
That's a donut that I get for Sally as a present. I'm like, I got a present for you. And she's like, what is it? And I think she expects something like bigger and like nicer. And then I show her the donut and she has like a better reaction than what she should because she just loves it.
I have a gift where I can look at a food and know what restaurant it's from.
See, I will pretty much eat anything that's in front of me at this point. I'm not like picky at all, but I don't branch out enough. That's my issue.
I also always have bananas and almond butter. I have that for breakfast every day.
That's become more of a staple for me too. I eat peanut.
Crunchy.
I eat more peanut butter just because I can't stomach how much almond butter costs like everywhere.
Is it expensive? I get mine at Trader Joe's.
We always get the freaking fresh ground stuff from like Central Market, and so it's like triple the price of what peanut butter is.
Well, I used to eat Home Plate peanut butter, which is an Austin brand, and then I switched to almond butter, and it took a little bit of getting adjusting to, but I buy the crunchy and it's really good.
Maybe that's what I should start doing.
Yeah.
So you don't watch TV, you don't drink coffee.
Well, I did actually, I've seen a few TV shows recently. I just watched Shrill with Edie Bryant because I saw the screening at South by Southwest. So like I was converted.
Yeah.
And then I like A Million Little Things.
What's that?
I don't know. I randomly found it on Hulu. And
I've watched the pilot. I watched like the pilot of Shrill.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the rest of it. I've had a lot of shows in my rotation lately, and so I have to wait before I fully incorporate Shrill.
Yeah.
What do you do to relax on any given night or day now that, I mean, you don't watch TV?
I go to Town Lake a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll either walk and catch up with a friend because everyone's like, you want to go out to eat? And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore.
Can we just work out once?
Yeah.
Or I'll call my mom or listen to Sunday Scaries.
Thank you.
I kind of work on Instagram and my blog when I have time. But I don't really know how to relax.
Yeah.
I like to go out and see shows and go to a new restaurant and hang out with friends.
I couldn't believe the amount of things that you were doing over South by.
How many people reach out to you and were just like,
how are you doing this?
Yeah.
Especially considering the fact that you don't drink coffee and you're doing that. I was just like, how is she doing this?
I was running on adrenaline for sure. I had a lot of friends in town from New York and I had to see them. So it was more like obligation and excitement. Like I get invited to this thing through a friend that doesn't live here. I had a lot of events with my clients that I got on panels and some parties. So it was just not really like I didn't have a choice. Like, yeah, I wanted to go see like this concert. My friend at Facebook invited me to Toro y Moi and I went to see that. And it was just like I want to see my friends and show them Austin. Mm-hmm. And I got to hear the founders of Instagram speak and like teared up a little.
I think I had like other people say to me like, well, how's Alex Rychek doing this? Like she's like all over the place.
My mom is the same way. Like if you go on a trip with us, everything is built like planned. Like it's not like I go have to be like, we can't sit down.
Yeah.
But we know every restaurant. Well, my mom doesn't really care about the food, but I know every restaurant I want to go to. I know all the activities, all the museums, just in case there is a moment where like, what should we do? I'm like, oh, well, I read about this.
Yeah.
But that's what I guess drives me and makes me excited is like learning and seeing everything. I just want to see everything.
See, that's inspiring because I'm like...
I can plan a weekend for you.
Seriously, you might have to.
It's fun. I love doing that.
People are like, well, so what do you guys want to do for like your honeymoon? Like going straight past like the wedding stage of everything. And I'm like, honestly, nothing. Like I want to go somewhere and I want to sit around and I just want to like eat food that's like near and then do more sitting around and like unwinding.
Well, I end up hitting a wall like usually every 3 or 4 months where I get a cold or like I'm just... get sick and this is when my mom's like, this is when you need to learn how to relax. Like watch a movie. I'm like, but what movie?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Maybe you have to start the Great British Baking Show.
Okay, I'll look into it.
I'm gonna force you to do this at some point. So just be aware of that, because it's my not only my favorite show, but my favorite Sunday staple.
Yeah, I should probably know about it.
I mean, you should maybe just be on it. Do you cook a lot at home?
Well, I don't bake because I would eat it all.
Yeah.
I did go through a phase where I made these chocolate chip cookie dough brownies.
Yeah.
And I would bring those places and they were really good, but it's just not worth it. Like,
yeah.
So I didn't really start cooking till I moved here, and I started that cooking club also so I would make myself cook.
Yeah.
Kind of like why another thing with the blog, I had to tell people so I would do it. And I've learned to use my Dutch oven because you can literally make everything in it.
That's what I've been told. I don't own one.
Yeah, I don't really know how to make anything outside of a Dutch oven or a baking sheet, which I know everyone is obsessed with the Instapots. But I have one.
I've literally never tried. I've never tried to use it on my own.
So I make like curry soups in my Dutch oven. I made chicken soup. And you can just literally add any kind of vegetable you want. Yeah. I buy rotisserie chicken, skip the whole making that part. A lot of butternut squash. And then I roast sweet potatoes and broccoli and cauliflower in the oven. And it really, if I make myself, I'll read like a recipe and create some kind of, you know, caper raisin vinaigrette to go on the cauliflower or something. But I eat out a lot, so I can really just eat it with salt and pepper and be safe.
Yeah. Well, that's admirable.
But that goes back to like the mackerel. You don't have to make it. Like, I can just have lunch. I also buy a lot of smoked salmon and make eggs a lot too.
You can kind of put smoked salmon with a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
You can, yeah.
I like will make a plate with like the rainbow. Like, I'll have some. I never eat like a whole apple. I'll just have a few slices to go with this. And then I'll have some cashews randomly and some chocolate chips. That's the only dessert I will keep.
Chocolate chips
in the house. Yeah, because like I have to have something, but I can't, if I get like a whole, if someone like sends me a box of cookies, then I'll eat them all at once. There's no point. I can't save them. Yeah. But chocolate chips, I'm not going to eat a whole bag of chocolate chips.
I feel like I did as a kid.
Oh yeah.
My aunt always had chocolate chips around her house, and I feel like I would just dive into them and not leave.
They're fun.
Yeah, they're great. Well, Alex, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm probably going to make you take Sally and I out to dinner sometime and show us restaurants that we haven't seen before.
I would love to do that.
Be on the lookout for a text from us, because we need to branch out more than we're currently doing.
And whenever you go to any other city, I probably have a guide for it.
Seriously. So, all right. It's been fun.
Thank you so much. Yeah. This was great.
If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also follow along on Twitter, which is @SundayScaries, and Instagram, which is @Sunday.Scaries. Or you can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram @WillDeFreeze. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday.